Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present
Hello and welcome to GIST Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. GIST stands for Getting the Shit Together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creatives of all kinds. For more information on GIST, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello. It's kind of a cloudy Monday afternoon. This is Monica, your favorite GIST jockey. I'm on the phone with Camille from Arts for LA. Hello.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
Great. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Let's see. Camille, help me with the pronunciation of your last name.
Chankin.
Oh, that's so simple. I love it. Camille is the Development and Operations Manager for Arts for LA. She's been with them since the summer of 2008. She's also serves as the development director for Circle X Theater Company, a small theater company focusing on new and innovative work in L.A., I'm assuming.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. She's a Master's of Arts Management candidate at Claremont University, Drucker School, graduating in December 2010. Oh, wait, this already happened. What?
Yep.
She loves nonprofit tech and web tools and has taught workshops on social media and technology for arts managers. She graduated from Scripps College in 2006 with a BA in Honors English Theater and summa cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa, and she won the English Senior Thesis Award for her exploration of the work of playwrights John Jacobson, Sarah Rule, and Carlson Kreitzer. Camille was a National Merit Scholar and a Scripps New Generation Scholar. She's an animal rights advocate and lives in several with several ridiculous bunny rabbits and her husband, Zach. And she is a proud member of the Emerging Arts Leaders LA. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So, Arts for LA, very common. I've heard about it and heard about it, a little bit of a backstory. I also work for McGordy Arts Center. Knew who Arts for LA was, knew they were coming to the center for a meeting, but it didn't occur to me that they were this tiny task force that were, like, changing the world. Arts for LA is the nonprofit that helps Los Angeles County, for lack of better words, advocate for a greater investment in the arts, something like that, foster a healthy environment, help LA thrive with arts and culture, and help art be accessible to everyone in LA County. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's right. And we basically give people ways to plug in to voice their own views on arts and culture and how important it is to them. Whether they're an individual artist, they work for an organization, or someone who just, you know, likes to go see live music on the weekends. So we work with a wide group of stakeholders and also with decision makers, policy makers, elected and appointed officials to make sure that artists and people who enjoy art in Los Angeles County are able to continue doing what they do.
Right. And so that manifests itself through a series of campaigns. So what are the campaigns that are on your table right now?
Well, we basically when we hear about something that's policy related that either affects one particular community, like, say, a city, Santa Monica maybe, or a certain group of people, like there's an arts education related campaign, then we will craft some messaging around that, basically saying, okay, this is why this may not be the best policy, or this is why this policy is fantastic and would really help people who are doing art making within this specific community.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have about 20,000 people who are in our database, and all that you have to do to get on that list is go to artsforla.org and subscribe to our mailing list. When you subscribe, you fill out your mailing address. Now, we then map you. So if there's something that affects, say, just people who are in a certain school district or just people who are within a certain state assembly district, then we map those people, we email them and say, hey, there's this issue going on. Your policymaker or your, you know, state assembly person is meeting about this on Monday. We want to get 100 letters sent to that person by Monday. So that's one of several ways that we give people opportunities to really make a difference and make their voice heard, because arts and culture is a tremendous sector. We have amazing power within Los Angeles County. There's this great report called the Otis Report on the Creative Economy that comes out every year. And one of the amazing, one of many amazing facts in that is that one in six jobs within Los Angeles County is directly related to the creative economy. So this is a huge, huge constituency, and what we're trying to do and what we've been pretty successful in doing already is to give that constituency a place, a central location, where they can come, learn what's happening, and learn how to plug in.
That's fantastic. I was just, like, kind of combing through your website again. Okay, so let's talk about this framework. These are like a set of goals and plans that assess and deal with every sector that we're talking about, like the artists themselves, then the groups of artists, and then the county, and then we're talking about policy, policymakers, and all of that. What is the framework? What does it address? And how can individual artists be empowered to get involved?
Well, one of the reasons that we created the framework, and this is something that our board members, who are an amazing group of people, and some other key stakeholders had a big hand in. They've worked incredibly hard to create this. It's a way that even if there's no, you know, giant issue within your community right now, these are ways that you can think, okay, how can I have a big impact on increasing access and equity of arts and culture within my community? So there are three big areas. There's arts education. There's the cultural economy, which I just referred to the Otis Report. We, as artists and as an arts sector, have an enormous impact on the economy, the ecology, and, of course, the culture of Los Angeles County. The third group is civic engagement. Artists vote. You know, one of the things that we love to do when we have events is say, okay, who voted in the last local election? Now, as you know, some local elections can have voter turnouts of, you know, 12%. It's incredibly small. Artists and arts organizational representatives vote in very large numbers. So one of the things that we're doing through the framework is saying, okay, here are our goals for these three areas, arts, mm-hmm. education, cultural economy, and civic engagement. We have some success indicators there, and we also have ways that you as an individual artist or as someone who works for an organization can start thinking about what are the big things that are affecting these different issues. For example, arts education. Every school district in the state right now gets a pot of money that's supposed to be for arts. Even people who work in school districts and parents sometimes don't know this. They took the restrictions off of it, so the vast majority, I would say, you know, 90% of school districts don't use any of that money for arts or use only a small amount of it for arts. They just roll it into the general fund.
Right.
Now, the framework talks a little bit about the Arts and Music Block Grant, and it also tells people, so who are the targets? Who do we need to talk to make sure that this money keeps happening? State legislators, school boards, and superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has tactics. So we kind of break down these different advocacy issues and tell people where they're going to be able to plug into it. So that's on our website, artsforla.org. If you click on framework, you can kind of scroll through it.
Right.
Because one of the big things that we work with is just teaching people what advocacy means. Advocacy is standing up for what you believe in. It's as simple as that. And nonprofits can advocate. We're a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So there are limits to how much money that you can spend on advocacy per year, but there is absolutely no reason that nonprofits can't engage in it. So one of the things that we like to do, and this is what our framework is for, is it's a piece of paper and it's something on the website that we can take wherever we go, and it's a really good way to start the conversation with people, whatever they do, however they plug into the arts community or don't self-identify as part of the arts community. kind of like, okay, what's going on? What are the big issues? And what can I do to be of help to it?
So what are the big issues right now? What is Arts for LA doing right now?
Well, you know, everything that we do basically plugs into the big three framework issues, arts
mm-hmm.
education, cultural economy, and civic engagement. Just picking one, just arts education. We have a small campaign going on in Santa Monica right now, and we've emailed everyone in our database, which is about 800 people who are within this state assembly district. The woman who represents them is named Julia Brownlee, and she chairs a committee at the national level that's going to be hearing a bill that would propose to get rid of the arts education requirement for high schoolers.
Whoa!
Yep, that's right. And this is the kind of thing that's happening all the time.
Right.
So this bill won't go away. It's come up in very different formats before. It's back. What it would do is it would say, okay, you can either take arts education or career technical education.
Hmm.
Now, Arts for LA and California Alliance for Arts Education, which is the state version of Arts for LA, of course, we both completely support career technical education and access to that.
Sure.
The issue is the either or, and the fact that the CSU system, I believe, and definitely the UC system, require an arts education credit. So if you don't have a counselor in your school and you're not sure if you want to go to college and you don't take arts ed, you can't go.
Right.
So that's one of the big problems with this bill, is that if it passes, then that's going to disenfranchise students in the poorest schools who may not have access to help when they're thinking about their college plans. So this is one of the campaigns, and basically what we're saying, and it's very targeted to this woman, and the reason, if anyone's looking on the website, that it doesn't come up is it's extremely important that only people within the districts write to their policymakers.
Mm-hmm.
So if I write to Julia Brownlee, that doesn't mean anything because I don't live in her district.
Right.
So a lot of what we do doesn't show up on the main page because it's sent specifically to certain groups.
Got it.
So we sent that out yesterday, and we've got about 30 people who have already taken action. So those are 30 letters that have gone directly to Julia Brownlee, very, very thoughtful letters about why these people think that this bill, which is called AB 1330, and it will be heard on April 27th in committee, why they think that this is not a good idea. So this is, you know, and one of the fun parts of my job is I get to see all those letters as they get sent because our system catalogs them.
Right.
And it's tremendously effective. We know that if we can send these letters to policymakers from the people who vote for them, they listen. They really do. So we have tremendous power as a constituency. Everyone listening has an incredible amount of power, especially in local politics. We just haven't, until the past couple of years, had a way to really harness the energy of this tremendous creative community. So, you know, if people listening are interested in this or, you know, care about these issues, then I really recommend that they check out the website and sign up, and then when prompted, take action and spread the word about it to others in their community.
Right, and something that I was so impressed with is that a lot of these issues, just like the one you brought up, like you don't even know that this is happening, that these are like the underworkings trying to diminish a good arts education.
Absolutely.
And that's insane to me. So, like, if anything, like just being informed on, like, what's going on, it's a good way, like Arts for LA is the perfect way to, like, plug in to, like, what is going on with the arts. Like, you may not think you care about it until you hear it's going to disappear.
Yeah. Well, even if, you know, I definitely, before I started working here, I didn't pay a lot of attention to things like arts education.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really tied to everything that I value, because if we are not raising the next generation of not just artists, but people who understand and appreciate arts and culture, then everything that we do as artists is not going to have an audience.
It's true.
So it's all very tied in. And thank you for saying that about Arts for LA. We've been told that our website is like the CNN of the local art scene.
Yes.
So we always try to have resources up there And more and more, we're trying to give people ways that they can be a part of the civic experience locally. So you'll see right now there's information up about redistricting. Mm-hmm. This year, California is redrawing some of the district lines, which is going to have a major impact in places that have seen a big change in population.
Right.
So for Los Angeles County, the eastern part of the county near the Inland Empire, mm-hmm. There's going to be changes there. So what not a lot of people realize is that you can actually take a role in the redistricting process, and there's information about that on the website. So, you know, there are always ways to make a good, positive difference, and we try to let people know what those ways are, because I know that you can start feeling like everything's kind of a bummer, like, oh, the arts always are the first things to get cut. Well, you know what? That's not true anymore locally. It's
right.
Really not. And
right, I'm seeing here there's a way for artists to learn how to do and deal with this for free. I'm looking at advocacy workshops. Tell me about these advocacy workshops.
Well, one of the other things that we do in addition to the online advocacy is we do comprehensive, totally free, almost everything that we do is absolutely free, advocacy workshops. So this is kind of like, if this interests you, then on the website, under events and also under advocacy teams, you can find out when the next workshop is going to be in your area. We have teams in Pasadena. We're just finishing up a series of advocacy workshops in Long Beach. And we've done them in L.A. City. We've done them in different school districts. In some of the locations, the teams that have arisen through this through this advocacy training have turned into, you know, for example, a foundation, or they've turned into a group of people that works together to go and talk to the school board every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But what the actual trainings are, it's a very basic grounding in how you do enact change at the local level and make your voice heard and stand up for what you believe in. And it's all, of course, tailored to the local community, so you actually learn, like, who are the decision makers in City of Los Angeles or Pasadena or Culver City or whatever the place may be. And then how do I reach them? What should I say? How do I be a good community partner to them? So it's really rewarding, and it's also a really good way if someone just kind of wants to get their feet wet to figure out what advocacy really means, and how you can be a part of it. And we also have a monthly newsletter that comes out that basically has information about what the active campaigns are, gives you links so that you can take action there. And we also have things like there's a job board on the website that's one of the most active local mm-hmm. arts job boards, and a forum with community events and things like that. So there's new content up on the website every day and on our Facebook page.
So for an organization that is so active, involved, and busy, tell me a little bit about the inside. How many of you are there, and what do you do? Seems like you do everything. Abe, I know Abe now. Danielle,
yeah.
She's the executive director. Tell me about this team.
Well, that's the whole team. There are three of us. So
mm-hmm.
the way that we're able to do that is we have a it's a combination high-tech approach. So Abe does the high touch. Abe is the one who's out in the field much of the time. He teaches the workshops. He talks to people. He meets with people and gets them to understand what it is that we're doing. He's the coordinator and the advocacy manager.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle is the executive director, so she's also extremely busy. In the past few weeks, we've been gearing up for the City of LA budget, which is going. The mayor's budget will be released this Thursday, actually, this Wednesday. So that is going to be basically the City of LA budget process started last month,
right,
with the CAO's recommendations. The mayor's recommendations come out this Wednesday, which is the 20th, and then the next step in the process is the city council looks at both of those and starts discussions. So this is where the people who are on our mailing list are going to start to see some calls to action, because we don't know how it's going to play out, but they have to discuss every department, so Department of Cultural Affairs will certainly be in that conversation. And as you know, there's a major structural deficit in the city. So we've been preparing for that, teeing that up. And then I do the development membership, the website. It's great. It's really exciting because it can definitely feel like, I don't know, working for a newspaper or working
for a
news website or something, because that's really what we are. We try to get information out to people as soon as we possibly can. So we spend a lot of time monitoring the city council files and trying to make sure that we are absolutely ready to go when we get any piece of information, and that we can pass that on to you guys, our constituents, who can then be the ones to take action. Because really, we're not the ones that make the change happen. We provide the infrastructure.
Right.
And then a successful campaign is always because people take it and run with it, and it starts popping up on Facebook. And, you know, we love it when it gets back to us, like when somebody will email me in my private email and be like, oh, I just got sent this thing. You have to take action. And it's our campaign.
You're like, it's me.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of the measures of success.
Absolutely. So do you identify yourself as an artist?
I do, yeah. You mentioned I work with a theater company, and everybody in our office has an artistic practice. And I feel like that's really important because we understand where people are coming from, and we also understand that no one has time.
Right.
So one of the things that we really try to do is make things as easy and as simple and have the messaging be absolutely clear and concise. So you can take 2 minutes and make a really big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see here. So here's a question. Do you think you will ever return, or have you returned to your theater roots?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a show opening this weekend.
You are so busy.
Yeah. No, we all are active.
Right.
In what we do. So I'm the development director for Circle X, and that's my after-hours outlet. So I spend a lot of time at the theater. We have a new space in Atwater Village that's really awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's great. And that actually really helps me because I have connections to the small theater community locally. So, you know, I've been able to reach out to the people that I know and make those connections when we have a campaign that's relevant to that community.
Right.
So, yeah, it's everything is very, very much tied together. As you know, the arts and culture world locally is very small, really.
Mm-hmm. So are there things that that pop up, issues that come up that you or your team or ArtsLA say, yeah, that's not really a big deal, we're not going to address that?
Well, there are some things that we really can't get involved with. Issues that affect one organization are always really tricky because we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so we need to be very selective in what we do, what we choose to do. So anything that we take on as a campaign is going to affect a broad constituency. So when we get an email or a phone call from someone that says, help, my organization is closing, unless it's tied to something that's policy related, like a new policy that prevents an organization from doing its business, then there's probably not much that we can do to help. And, you know, that sucks, but that's just not what we do. So we get a lot of those phone calls. And if... like I said, often they are tied to a larger policy issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll definitely take a look at those. And because our name is kind of generic, I get phone calls from everybody.
Arts for Louisiana.
We're always very happy to point people in the direction of any resources that I can think of. I direct a lot of people to LA Stage Alliance and California Lawyers for the Arts.
Right.
And
you do
Center
too.
For Cultural Innovation.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but I mean, there. If something is kind of in our wheelhouse, if it is policy related, and then, you know, we'll get involved. We absolutely will. There's always the capacity issue because we are so small, but we are able to work on multiple things at once. And part of that is that we do use technology. So, you know, once it's up and we've sent it out to the people that we know, sometimes it'll kind of be a sleeper campaign until it goes viral.
Right.
And then suddenly we'll start to see things bump up as people spread the word about that particular issue, which is fun.
Oh, absolutely. And what do you feel like has been, like, the best, most successful action that has happened as a result of what you do for Arts for LA?
Well, the one that really changed things for us and put us on a map in the way that we definitely hadn't been was last February, February 2010 now, about a year and 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And on a Friday, we found out that City Council was considering eliminating the only dedicated revenue stream for the Department of Cultural Affairs, which is the transient occupancy tax. It's a hotel tax. So a little part of the hotel tax goes to help fund Department of Cultural Affairs.
Right.
So this would have been devastating for a lot of the organizations that receive support from Department of Cultural Affairs and to the department itself as its steward of what a lot of people call the creative capital of the world, which is
right.
Los Angeles. So we got a campaign up on the website, sent it to everyone, said, look, this is very real. This is about to happen. Please spread the word about this. Over the weekend, we got about 4,000 emails sent to City Council, and
wow.
I think eventually it hit 6,000, which was
wow.
unheard of locally. And then that, I guess, Tuesday, we had 200 people come to City Hall, and they all were wearing red Art Fuels LA stickers.
I saw that image. That's a
great
one.
Yeah, and City Council was basically like, it's off the table. We're not doing it.
Oh, wow.
So, and I think it was really the realization of this is a huge community, and we were able to organize in a way that we never had been before as a constituency, as this giant group in L.A. County and in the city of L.A.
Right.
So that was really a turning point. We got a lot of press about that, and that really helped grow our list locally. And, you know, now we're invited to be at the table for a lot of the actual policy making instead of just when there's a crisis. We're able to sit down with people and talk to them about what the best decision would be, or, you know, well, have you thought about this? This might be a better solution. And I truly believe that the way we've done that is we have this sort of code that we call our style guide.
Mm-hmm.
And the big parts of it is that we are positive and solutions-based.
Mm.
We do not, as we call it, storm the castle. So you're not going to see us going and yelling at City Council or yelling at a school board or saying, you're terrible.
Right.
That's not effective. And I would actually add that's not effective anymore. I think there was a time when that sort of advocacy was completely legitimate, but at the local level in Los Angeles, and if anyone has been watching Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution, I think you'll see an example of how not to do advocacy in L.A.
Yes.
He's not building partnerships. It's adversarial, and that doesn't work. So you need to come to the table and say, you know, we understand that times are tough right now. Here's a solution, and here's why it's a solution, and here's what the local community is going to do to help. And it just completely shifts the conversation.
Right.
So, you know, we're learning not to think of ourselves as always needy, like the needy artist, the starving artist. I think
mm-hmm.
we all still have that mentality. But the contributions that artists make to the Los Angeles County communities are just incredible. And every grant dollar that goes to an organization leverages at least $8 in return
yeah.
to the city. Because when someone experiences art, there are all of these other things that they do as well. I mean, anyone who's ever seen, gone to the theater in Los Angeles knows that you got to park, you got to eat.
Yep.
There are all of these dollars that go into the local economy from your ticket.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's been a learning curve, definitely. And one of the things that we do is we kind of try to pull people back when they do want to go storm the castle, because I think mm-hmm. fear is a big motivator of wanting to do that. You know, you hear that something might be cut and you want to go yell and scream. And I get that. And, you know, we're just saying, like, maybe you should do that by yourself in your house and then help us create the solution and then take the solution to the decision makers, because that's they know that they don't know everything.
Right.
So if you come to them with an attitude of we're your partner, then you're going to make yourself their partner, you know?
Right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, well, Camille, before I take any more of your time, where do you think Arts for LA is going to be in the next 10 years? Like, what is a hope or goal? Or do you really work on the 2-year to 3-year kind of framework and take it one step at a time?
I mean, long term, we want to see arts and culture with a permanent seat at the table and
right.
acknowledged by the city and the county. But by the way, we work in all 81 municipalities and 88 school districts within
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles County. LA City is by far the biggest, so that's one that we tend to spend more time on, but we serve everybody. So we want to see arts and culture recognized as an economic generator and as a huge sector locally. So things like having someone from the arts and cultural sector, which can be an independent artist, someone from an organization, arts supporter, have them on major commissions, everything from public safety, environment, health. You know, we believe that we have a role in all of those things at the local level. So we would love to see in 10 years some really robust representation. And then, you know, as the economy recovers, some great policies that continue to increase the health and the vitality of the cultural sector in LA County.
Oh, I hope. So.
It'll happen. But, you know, the big message is we're really powerful, and
mm-hmm.
come and be a part of it. We welcome everyone to check out artsforla.org and sign up and start taking action.
Perfect. And I was just going to ask you to plug the website, but you just did. All right. Thank you so much, Camille, for your time.
Thank you.
Yes, it's been incredible.
Fun.
And I will link you to everywhere that this interview will show up.
Awesome. You're great.
All right. Great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Have a good one. Bye. Oh, yes. So Arts for LA, talking to Just Radio. That's a good partnership, don't you think? Yes. I'm completely into the advocacy. If you want to become a member or if you want to join the mailing list, they don't spam you at all. Like, she is telling the truth when she tells you, like, if it's an issue that deals with your zip code or your area, like, those are the people who get the emails. Like, I literally get, like, I don't know, twice a month I get something in my email about something going on. And, you know, it's good. It's good to have a nonprofit that doesn't spam you, but it's so busy and so ready to advocate for you and your needs as an artist. Yes. Okay. This is Monica on Just Radio. You can email me at justradio@gmail.com. You can look at me on Facebook. That's Facebook, right, / Just Radio. We got a Twitter. It's Just Radio. Follow us. See what we're up to. Send me some recipes and talk to me. Call in and interview with me. That's great, too. All right. Let's listen to some theme song. And thanks for listening to Just Radio. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present...
Hello and welcome to Just Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. Just stands for getting the shit together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creators of all kinds. For more information on Just, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email to let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.